tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Common Ground, the place where you get real conversations, real connections, and absolutely no filter. Good day, everybody. How's everybody doing today? This episode today will be a little bit different episode. Today, is a tribute to a woman who broke barriers, defied expectations, and redefined what leadership looks like in America. Mia Love. Whether you agreed with her politics or not, her journey is one of courage and conviction. So Mia Love, passed the other day. What she passed off, we're actually going to actually get into a little bit later on into the show. So, born Ludmilla Bordeaux on December 6, 1975, in Brooklyn, New York, to Haitian immigrants fleeing the dictatorship of Francois Duvalier. I think I pronounced the name right, Francois Duvalier. Her parents came to the United States with $10 in their pockets and a belief in the American dream. I remember, too, when I, as a young child, come to America as a young kid, and I believed, and I was only 10 years old, with my parents, about the American dream. Her father famously told her, "Mia, your mother and I never took handout. You will not be a burden to society. You will give back." Mia Love, she grew up in Newark, Connecticut, and later earned a degree in fine arts from the University of Hartford. So she moved to Utah after converting to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. She became involved in local politics in Saratoga Springs, where she eventually became mayor in 2010. Think about it, right? She was the first black mayor of Saratoga Springs. Her leadership during the financial crisis and her bold stances on limited government gained her national attention. The one thing about Mia Love, about her, she wasn't afraid to really speak her mind. Her historic run to Congress. So she ran for Congress in 2012 and lost narrowly, but came back in 2014 and won. She made history as the first black Republican woman elected to Congress. The first Haitian American elected to Congress. I'm telling you right now, that was a big deal. Represented Utah in our 4th district from 2015 to 2019. So the reason why I decided to really do a tribute to Mia Love, right? I've read a few books about her, not her entire life, but her politics and stuff like that. There's one famous book that I've read, which was a really good book, and it's called "The Loneliness of the Black Republican" by Leah Rigger. That book talked about a lot of how a lot of black, because it's rare you see a lot of black Republican people, especially in politics. So, right, she believed, she advocated for fiscal responsibility, limited government, and individual freedom. Strong proponent of immigration reform, but with an emphasis on legal path and national security. Stood out for not always aligning perfectly with her party, value independent thought. So she was an independent thinker. Think about it, not in today's politician where a lot of these Republican politicians, a lot of them are afraid to speak the dagger mind. So here's a quote from Mia Love. I had to put this quote in there, right, where she talked about Obama back in 2012. So President Obama's version of America is a divided one, pitting us against each other based on income level, gender, and social status. His policies have failed. We are not better off than we were 4 years ago. And no rhetoric bumper sticker or campaign ad can change that. So Mia Love, she faced a lot of criticism too. She faced criticism from both sides of the aisle, right? Some people felt that she wasn't conservative enough, which I never understood that. And others saw her as too conservative for a minority woman. So on one hand, she wasn't conservative enough. And on the other hand, she's too daggone conservative to be a black person. You know what I mean? Like, people just cannot make up their mind. After losing her 2018 re-election bid, she called out her party. And here, because Republicans never take minorities or women seriously, we feel like we have to make them earn it. We feel like we have to show up. And that's the thing. We have to show up. So that's a quote from her, right? Let me read this again. Because Republicans never take minorities or women seriously, we feel like we have to make them earn. We feel like we have to show up. And that's the thing. We have to show up. So after she left politics, she actually started working for CNN. So she became a political commentator on CNN, offering a rare Republican voice in mainstream media. She continued to advocate for women and minorities to engage in politics, which I think is a really good thing, though, that she used her platform and her voice to really advocate for women. Think about it, right? Somebody like a Mia Love, a black woman that's in politics, especially being a Republican. It's really rare you see stuff like that. See, you understand what I'm saying? So when since she had a voice, she used a voice. So I guarantee a lot of young girls right now, back then, have actually looked out for her. I looked up to her. So her life inspired a new generation of women. Think about it. Especially black women, to see politics as a viable and powerful space for their voices. Mia Love opened the door for future leaders to be themselves, not confined by race or party stereotypes. Mia Love didn't just make history, she made a statement. She showed us that black women don't have to fit into a box. That being conservative doesn't mean being silent. That being a woman of color in politics means leading, not just representing her name. Not just representing. Her name is forever etched in American history, and today I'm honoring her courage, her silence, and her unwavering belief in what this country could be. Thank you, Mia Love, for showing the world that courage has no color and conviction as no party. Mia Love, she died on March 23rd, 2025, at the age of 49. So, I decided to do a little tribute to Mia Love. You know, I agree with a whole politics, but what I would say, somebody like her as a black person in politics, I might not agree with them, but I respect them. I respect for what they have done. I respect for what she has contributed to politics. As, think about it, the only first black Republican woman to actually be in office. The first black Republican woman. You know what I mean? That's a big deal. It really is. Despite how a person could slice and dice it. And that's a big deal. And for that, you have to show these people respect. You know what I mean? She overcame a lot of odds. A lot of odds, and she beat the odds to become a Republican congresswoman. Whether she only just lasted one term or not, she still made history. And I believe, to me, that that's something that needs to be celebrated with her. Her life needs to be celebrated. Mia Love. She was one of the few. And, you know, I decided to, after reading the book, I remember back in the day too when she ran. I remember all those times when she ran. And I was wondering, like, damn, I haven't heard from this young lady from her in a long time. So one day, I just, like, a few months ago, I had to Google her name. Google her just to see if she's still working politics, whatever. And when I Googled her name on the internet, they said that she was sick. That she was sick. And then when I found out when they announced that she passed to me at such a young age, 49 years old, that's very sad to me. Very sad. So they hit a reflection, Mia Love, right? Mia Love didn't just make history. She made a statement. She showed us that Black women don't have to fit into a box. That being conservative doesn't mean you got to be silent. That being a woman of color in politics means leading, not just representing. Her name is forever etched in American history. And today I'm honoring, and I've said it before, but today I'm honoring her courage, her resilience, and her unwavering belief in what this country could be. Right? Again, Mia Love did not just make history. She made a statement. That's why I had to read it twice. This woman made a big statement. Okay? So Mia Love, may she rest in peace. All right? May Mia Love rest in peace. And her unwavering spirit, you know what I mean, will forever live on for future generation, for future young girls that's out there that doesn't want to be conservative, that is conservative, that want to be in politics. They have someone to look up to. You know what I mean? This young Black girl right here. And we're like, you know what though? I'm a conservative. I don't care what nobody think about it. No other Black people think I'm a conservative, and that's how I feel. You know what I mean? And people like her, you know, really paved the way for that. She paved the way so other people could have a pathway for her to follow, for other people to follow. And I really believe that is a very great thing for what happened. So now, before I move forward, I want to take a moment to talk about the illness that took Mia Love's life, glioblastoma. It's one of the most aggressive and devastating forms of brain cancer. Let's break down what it is and how it affects the body and why it's so hard to treat. So, the reason why that's another reason why I decided to do a tribute to Mia Love because of the disease. Plus, I'm also in the healthcare field. You know, I have a degree in healthcare management, a master's in healthcare management. So healthcare is very passionate when it comes to me. I'm very passionate about healthcare. I'm very passionate that I want people out there to get the care that they deserve. Always the care that they need and the care that they deserve, no matter what. Okay? So what is glioblastoma? Glioblastoma, also called glioblastoma multiforme, GBM, is a fast-growing brain tumor. It starts in the glial cells, which are the supportive cells that surround nerve cells in the brain. GBM is the most common and deadliest form of malignant brain tumor in adults. It's classified as a grade 4 tumor, which means it's most aggressive. Now think about this, right? Imagine a weed growing rapidly in your garden, wrapping itself around everything. Your flowers, your vegetables, even the roots. That's how glioblastoma grows inside the brain. I mean, it goes inside the brain. Once a person is diagnosed with it, it's going to move rapidly, moving real fast within the brain. And once it moves that fast and it controls your brain, it's hard to really treat. So how it affects the brain. Glioblastoma grows rapidly and invades healthy brain tissue, making it nearly impossible to remove completely. It causes headaches, seizures, and memory loss, vision problems, and personality changes depending on where in the brain it forms. Because it spreads so aggressively, even small tumors can have big effects. Small tumors, think about it. It's not just a lump. It's a fog rolling through the mind, slowly distorting memory, mobility, and identity. That rare form of brain cancer is very, very serious. It's very serious. And I'll tell you something real quick, right, before I move on. I remember for years, I used to have, like, these headaches on the left side of my head. I still have it sometimes, these headaches on the left side of my brain. And for a long time, I used to thought it was a tumor. And finally, I had to have it, let them check out my brain just to make sure I was good, right? So I'm telling you, some people, if you feel any kind of funny, please don't be afraid to go to your doctor and get the checkup. Get the checkup that you need, especially when you reach a certain age, all right? Please, that's why I believe in the video that I'm doing right now. That's why I'm doing this video, because I want people to be aware not only of this rare form of brain tumor, but to also ensure that you all go there and get checked for any daggone thing. Check out your body, okay? It's very serious right now. All right, so who does get this type of brain tumor, right? So it usually affects adults between the ages of 45 and 70, but can appear at any age. So at any age, a person could really get it. Most cases are sporadic, meaning doctors don't know how exactly what causes it. There are no known lifestyle causes. It's not usually inherited, but the risk factors may include previous exposure to radiation, older age, and certain genetic mutation. So here that previous, you know what I'm saying, exposure to different medication. So it's really good to, I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, a lot of us do a lot of things, leave tanning, be out in the sunlight, too dark and much and stuff like that. You know, it's good for us to really go and check out, especially once you start feeling a certain way. You know, if you start feeling like headaches, sometimes you might have headaches, these rapid headaches all the time. You might think, oh, it's just a migraine. It's just a migraine. It's still just good to go check a doctor and go to the doctor. It's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that to have your doctor check it out, to rule out any daggone thing. Not at all. Nothing is wrong with that at all. So doctors look for the speed, right? So real quick, so the diagnosis of this GBM. So symptoms can mimic other conditions. So diagnosis often begin with an MRI or CT scan. The biopsy is needed to confirm the GBM. This means removing a piece of the tumor to analyze under a microscope. Doctors look for the speed of growth, cell type, and genetic features of the tumor. By the time it's diagnosed, it's usually already widespread in the brain. And another reason it's so difficult to treat. So think about it, right? Once it gets to the brain, all over the brain, it's really difficult for actual doctors to actually treat this disease. So some treatment, right? Surgery is the first step. But because GPM infiltrates a healthy brain issue, it's impossible to remove it all. After surgery, patients usually get radiation therapy, chemotherapy. The most common drug is temozolomide. That's the name of the drug. So some of these daggone drugs, it'd be hard to pronounce some of these daggone drugs for real. So despite all this, the cancer almost always comes back. The average survival time is between 12 to 18 months after diagnosis. Only about 5% survive more than 5 years. You're not just fighting a tumor, you're racing against time with limited tools and no guaranteed cure. So, Mia, her impact, right? So the Mia Love was diagnosed in 2022 and chose to battle privately, spending time with family and continuing her advocacy behind the scenes. Her death at 49 years old is a reminder that this disease doesn't care about your strength, your title, or your dreams. She is now, which I never really knew that until I was doing the research for this thing, she is now part of a group of notable figures taken by GBM, including Senator John McCain, Senator Ted Kennedy, and Beau Biden, the former Joe Biden's son. So researchers, researchers are studying new treatments. Immunotherapy, using the body's own immune system to fight the tumor. Targeted therapy, blocking specific genes or protein to help the tumor grow. Clinical trials are offering hope to patients and families. Organizations like the National Brain Tumor Society are raising funds for better treatment, and eventually, hopefully, they can find a cure eventually. This disease, just like I said, is very serious, everyone. And that's why I'm emphasizing why I'm doing this show, because I do want people, right? And not just disease, the GBM. It does anything in general. You know, especially a lot of us as men, especially us as black men, a lot of times we don't want to go to the doctors. And I advise you, and I challenge each and every one of you to go to your doctor and get checked out. It's really good to really know what's going on. I know sometimes it's scary, but we have to do this though. We got to do it if we want to, you know, because God forbid something might happen and, you know, you could catch something early that's going on in the body. How many people die of something that their pop could have caught early if they went to the doctor earlier? So I challenge each and every one of you out there that's listening to this podcast right now to go and get checked out, okay? For whatever, once we reach 38, 35 and over, doesn't matter, okay? Go and get checked out. Okay, so GBM is a monster, but even in the face of it, Mia Love stood tall. She faced it with grace, dignity, and quiet courage. If we take anything from her life and her death, is this: life is fragile, time is precious, and strength is something found silent. Let me repeat that real quick. If we take anything from her life and her death, it's this: life is fragile, time is precious, and strength is something found in silence. Okay, so now let's move on a little bit. Okay, so this right here now is inspired by Mia Love's career and the silent battle with cancer, right? So honoring her strength in silence. Mia Love didn't just make history, she made a way as the first black Republican woman in Congress. She was always fighting one battle in the public eye, but privately she was facing another. A battle for her life. Today, I want to talk about the silent struggles that so many black women in politics and in life carry while the world expects them to keep smiling and keep moving. How many times, especially if you are a certain age, right? Especially if you are a certain age and you might have your grandmother, your big mama, or your mom, and sometimes you never know what they are going through. Because on the outside, they're strong. But on the inside, you know what I mean, there could be, certain things could be wrong with them, and we never know, because a lot of times when it comes to black women, a lot of times, you know, it's like they can't show how fragile they are. They got to be strong, especially if they're the head of the household in the family, right? So black women in leadership roles often feel the pressure to never show weakness, just like I just said, right? All feel the pressure to never show weakness. Mia Love battled with brain cancer for over 2 years without the public knowing. This reflects a pattern. Many black women bear the burdens silently, be it illness, grief, racism, or burnout, while continuing to lead. We celebrate their strength, but how often do we acknowledge their suffering? Right? There are a lot of times we just, like I said, right? We celebrate, oh, she's a very strong black woman. But sometimes deep down inside, some of them could be suffering and struggling internally, and we don't know. That's why, like with me, I work for a mental health hospital. A lot of times, I ask people a lot of times, how is the mental health today? That's one of the questions I ask people all the time. And sometimes, though, man, I don't know why black women be feeling that way. There are a few black women I've asked that, and they always think, just because I ask them how is the mental health today, they always think, oh, I'm not crazy. I ain't crazy. Nothing wrong with me. Sweetheart, I'm not asking if you're crazy now. I just want to make sure you're okay. That's it. Okay? Yeah. The strong black women, right? So, the culture myth can be damaging, though. It often prevents black women from seeking mental health care. Like I just said, mental health. It often prevents black women from seeking mental health care, sharing their struggles, or being given space to grieve or rest. In politics, the stereotypes can be amplified. They're expected to be unshakable, especially when surrounded by white or male colleagues. Mia Love examples in leadership with grace. She was composed under pressure, gracious in defeat, and dignified in her advocacy. Even when she called out her own party in 2018 for not valuing black voices, she did so with honesty, but not bitterness. Think about it. Honesty, but not bitterness. Now, here's a quote. We feel like we have to show up. That's the thing. We have to show up. We feel like we have to show up. And that's the thing. We have to show up. Let that sink in. Her leadership reminds us that strength doesn't mean invincibility. So her legacy, Mia Love's legacy, is not just in the bills she passed, but in the barriers she broke. She paved the way for young black girls with conservative values to imagine themselves in Congress. Just like I said earlier, right? She paved the way. Mia Love paved the way for a lot of young black girls out there to look up to her. I said, you know, I wanted to be that. I want to do that. Representation does matter. And she represents for a lot of young black girls that's out there. Whether you agree with her policies or not, she represented for a lot of young black people out there. Her silence wasn't weakness, it was the power. Her suffering didn't define her, but it deepens the meaning of her legacy. Let's learn to ask leaders how they're doing, not just what they're doing, right? So sometimes it's good to ask our leader, hey, man, how you doing today? I know I do it all the time. I'll be asking my boss, hey, man, how you doing today? How's everything? How's the family? Because you never know what people are going through all the time. Sometimes you got to ask those questions, right? Because you never know if they will open up to you. Because sometimes they might just want someone just to listen to them, want someone just to talk to. So let's create a space where black women, especially those in leadership, don't have to be strong all the time. You understand that, right? Sometimes you'll be like, I got this, man. You know what I mean? I know me, I guess because of my personality, I'm that way anyway. God be telling me, especially when I see people, you know what I'm saying? I'm talking in the workplace, right? When I see people, when I see them, the boss, whatever, somebody, sometimes they could be stressed out because their boss might be on their back. And I, you know what I mean? I'm always like, hey, I got you. I'll make your job easy. Sometimes, a lot of times, a boss needs to hear that. A supervisor needs to hear that. I got this. You know what I mean? Just deal with the people on top. But I got this. You know what I mean? They ain't got to worry about nothing right here, right? Sometimes you got to do that, you know what I mean, as a subordinate to that leader. In honor of Mia Love's, let's push for grace, support, and compassion for the leaders among us, because we never know what private battles they might be fighting. So Mia Love gave everything she had to a country, quietly, consistently, and with love. The best way we can honor her is by carrying her torch, by showing up, by speaking the truth, and by giving people, especially black women, black leaders, black women leaders, the space to humanity. Okay, so we talked about that. There's a few other things that I want to discuss about Mia Love. Okay, so now let's talk about something that Mia Love embodied, and that's the complexity of being both black and conservative in America. Now, here's the thing. According to a 2020 Pew Research study, roughly 90% of black voters consistently support the Democratic candidate, and only about 8% identify as Republican. So when someone like Mia Love comes along, a Haitian American, the first black Republican woman elected to Congress, it disrupts what people expect. But black conservative is not new. Let's go all the way back to Booker T. Washington, who prompted economic independence and self-reliance. Fast forward to today, we've got people like Condoleezza Rice, we've got Senator Tim Scott, and of course, Mia Love, who each brought their own take on what it means to be a black conservative. Mia wasn't trying to fit. She wasn't trying to fit in at all. She wasn't performing. She believed in fiscal responsibility, smaller government, and individual freedom, and still pushed for immigration reform and minority engagement. She showed that being black doesn't mean thinking one way. So here's the real question for all of us. Can we allow black politicians the same complexity and nuance we allow others? Let me repeat the question again. Can we allow black politicians the same complexity and nuance that we allow others? So Mia Love, her communication style, right? She's kind of different when it comes to she wasn't overly aggressive in the way she speaks. Mia Love's presence wasn't loud, but it was powerful. She had this calm, composed, non-combative way of speaking that stood out, especially in the political world where shouting and finger pointing often take center stage. I'm telling you something, people. We have those are all the type of leaders that you ought to be afraid of, to be honest with you. Those leaders out yelling aloud, always loud, their bark is really worse than their bite. All the yeah, yeah, yeah. But those leaders that's quiet and calm, those are the ones, right? The power of the pen. Remember that. The power of the pen. Those are the ones right there. And this hits even harder when you remember the expectations put on black women in politics. Society often expects them to be bold, fiery, and always on. But Mia challenged that. She led with grace, restraint, and clarity, even when facing criticism from her own party. She didn't need to raise her voice to make you listen. Like I said, she didn't need to raise her voice. That's a different kind of power. One rooted in confidence, not chaos, right? Like I said, she didn't need to raise her voice or yell at you for you to listen. She's still going to get her point across by speaking calm and be very calm of how she speaks. She spoke with grace, and she was a very dignified woman. With her, I salute her. So let's talk about black women. Let's pivot to something deeply personal, right? Not just about Mia, but about black women everywhere. Healthcare disparities, right? Mia Love died from glioblastoma, one of the most aggressive forms of brain cancer. It's deadly, fast-moving, and there's no known cure. But here's a deeper issue. How black women are treated in healthcare. According to the CDC, black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. Studies show that black women are consistently underdiagnosed, undertreated for diseases like endometriosis, autoimmune disorders, and even cancers. And many black women report not being believed when they describe symptoms, a form of implicit bias that's still alive and well. So what can we do, right? I'm going to tell you what we can do. You can advocate for yourself in medical settings. Get regular screenings, especially for cancer and chronic conditions. I'm tell you something, people. You go to the doctor, one doctor tell you something, and it doesn't feel right, and still feeling away, go to another doctor. Don't take one doctor's word for it. Go to another doctor, okay? You support organizations, right? Sometimes supporting an organization could make a big difference, right? Like the American Brain Tumor Association, the Black Women Health Imperative. You understand that? Black Women Health Imperative. Mia fought in silence. We honor her by fighting smarter and louder for ourselves and each other. So, when you're the first, you don't just carry your own dreams. You carry the weight of a whole community expectations. Mia Love wasn't just a politician. She was a symbol of black excellence, Haitian immigrant success, conservative values, and female leadership. Let's say that one more time. Black excellence, Haitian immigrant success, conservative values, and female leadership. That's a lot to carry for one person. The first black female Republican. Because just like the book says, the loneliness of the black Republican. Think about it, the loneliness of the black Republican. Because, you know, there's just a few black Republicans right now. Every move she made was judged more harshly. More harshly, more deeply. Some said she wasn't black enough. Others said she wasn't Republican enough, which made no sense to me. That's the burden of representation when you're expected to be everything to everyone. You're not black enough. You're not Republican enough. It's like sometimes you can't win for losing, no matter how hard you try in life. You know what I mean? Some people are always gonna have something to say when they don't like you. That's how I feel. When some people don't like you or like what you stand for, they're gonna always try to tear you down any way they can. So, how do we treat pioneers when they don't align with our expectations, huh? Just like I said, right? When somebody do not align with us, or align with our values, right? But it's still a pioneer. You know what I mean? How do we treat these people? We can still respect them. Do we support them or do we tear them down? Mia didn't get everything right, but she showed up, and that matters, right? She showed up. And just a quick sidebar. When Cory Booker the other day was on this on the Senate floor for 25 hours, he was on the Senate floor, right? That man, he showed up. Whether people think he accomplished nothing or not, he showed up. And always, just because they don't like him, people had something to say. But guess what, though? Sometimes in life, you got to overcome the norm and do something different just to disrupt the system. Okay, so who are the women in your life showing strength in silence? Think about it, right? All my audience right now, who are the women that in your life that's showing strength in silence? What would you say to Mia Love if you had the chance right now? What would you say to her? Whether you believe in her policies or not, what would you say if you had a chance? How can we better support Black women in leadership, in politics, at work, in our families? I'm going to tell you something right now, right? One thing I like to see, like when I watch the TV, I see these successful Black people in politics. You know, a lot of times I don't agree with a lot of them. Sometimes when I hear them speak on TV. But guess what, though? I respect them. I respect what they're doing. You know, I know if I was a young kid coming up and I see these type of people on TV all the time, they might make me want to, like, you know what, though? Because of this person, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to try to be a politician one day. You know what I mean? Within my area. So I believe it's a good thing. And I do believe, you know what I'm saying, as Black folk, Black people, we need both. We need, of course, the people on the right, people on the left. We need them both, okay? I do believe that. You know what I mean? Because everybody can't be the same. You understand me? Everybody can't be the same. And as long as you have, like, strong values and something strong that you believe in, and you're serious and you're not hurting nobody, you're not trying to hurt nobody, you have those people that will follow you as long as you're the type of person want to do the right thing to take care of people regardless. So here's this poem right here, a tribute to Mia Love. She didn't shout, yet her voice rang clear. A beacon of courage year after year. With quiet strength and ground grace, she carved her name in history's face. No storm too loud, no title too grand. She led not just with the mind, but her hand. In silence she fought, in silence she taught, that love, not noise, is where battles are caught. Think about it, right? Mia Love, one of the few Black conservatives that are out there. She did her time in Congress, you know. That's why I had to really do this tribute to her. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you're right. When sometime back in the day when I would see her on TV and she would speak sometimes, I'm like, damn, this damn woman, man. Oh man, I don't agree with her. You know what I mean? You know. But at the same time, though, she's still a human being, right? And I might not agree with everything that she was saying, that she used to say on TV, but I respect her daggone accomplishments. This young lady came from immigrant parents. Excuse me, immigrant parents. Right? Her parents instilled some great values in her life. And she became one of the few Black politicians that we see on TV. Black politicians that we see on TV. Today, Mia Love, one to me, will etch in history of one of the greats. To me, you know, when come on TV on the View, showed on the View a few times, I guess, you know, a few times on the View talking, and you know, behind the scenes though, you don't really hear people say anything negative about this young lady, you know, and I want her to rest in peace, her family. You know, I do give condolences to her family because it's hard to lose someone, especially so young, at the age of 49. 49 years old, this young lady passed from a disease that's incurable, something that you can't cure. But you know what, though? She left a lasting legacy on us all. She really did. Left a lasting legacy. And for that, I do salute her. Respect what she had accomplished in her life. And I hope one day this video could reach people. Hopefully, they listen to this video, do their actual research on Mia Love, and see what she has done. You know, you could Google her record when she was in Congress. She did her time. She served her country with dignity. She didn't have no kind of scandal about her. Sometimes people might not like what she said, certain things that she said. But guess what, though? That's what she believed in wholeheartedly. And there's nothing at all, you know what I'm saying, we should take away from that. She was a politician. She was a mother. She was a daughter. Okay? A wife. She was it all. She really was. Person that, you know, with conviction, a person that loved her country, loved this country, and this country took care of her. Okay? Her parents instilled some greatness in her that she lived with until her last days. Mia Love, the young congressperson, passed such a young age. And, you know, just like I said earlier, when I was doing this, the research for this topic, you know, I did not know that John McCain and Ted Kennedy actually, and Joe Biden's son, had actually passed from the same disease. And Sammy, I didn't know that, but it was interesting to me when I was doing the research. You know what I mean? Just like I said earlier, people, right? And it's not just about GBM, okay? It's bigger than just that. Okay? I do believe, you know, when you're at a certain age, and you know, even by right, you don't really have to be a certain age. Just go to your diagnostic doctor and do your regular checkup. Just go there and do your regular checkup, okay? You never know. You know, like me, I go to my doctor every 6 months. I go. And I challenge each and every one of you out there to do the same. Understand me? And sometimes some of y'all probably don't have the insurance, which, man, so sad to me when we live in one of the greatest country in the world and we have people that are uninsured in this country. It's a shame to me. It really is. Because I see it all the time working for mental health hospital. You know, that there's so many people that patients, when I go and I talk to a lot of these nurses at the ERs, and, you know, and a lot of these young, a lot of these people, period, you know what I mean? A lot of them do not have health insurance just to get the care of the basic needs to be taken care of. Just the basic needs. You understand me? I'm also going to use this part to even say, even with some of you who have mental health problems, please go seek somebody. You know, Mental Health Awareness Month. Please go seek somebody. Go talk to someone. Okay? We need you in the fight. We need you. Okay? I'm telling you, your family needs you. Go talk to someone. All right? Especially if you have insurance, I want everybody to go, but if you have insurance, to me, there's no excuse. I'm going to tell you why. Because just like if you feel sick today, right, you're going to go to the doctor, right? Same stuff. If you feel, you know what I mean, stressed out, if you feel, oh, man, it's too much on me, go seek the help that you deserve, okay? Because you deserve that help. You deserve to get that help, all right? Doesn't matter. Okay? Doesn't matter your race, your gender. Go seek the help that you deserve as people. Okay? We're human beings. And we all need to really, you know what I'm saying, get the help. That's why I tell the patients all the time in my hospital, when I used to give group all the time, you know, and I always applaud them. Every single one of them that come into the group section, I applaud them all the time for being here. Especially the one that volunteer to come. Because we do have some patients that do volunteer because they recognize the sign and they recognize, oh, I need the help, okay? Go and get the help that you deserve, all right? Because you deserve it, okay? You deserve to get the help, whether it's your mind or your body. Get the help that you deserve, because God is going to always be with you no matter what. But you need to also take that step, too. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with her asking for help. So a lot of y'all out there got family, y'all the leaders of your family. I get it. And sometimes it's hard, but there's nothing wrong with asking for help, okay? There's nothing wrong with getting the help that you deserve. Because mental health is a very serious thing. You know, you reach a certain age and, you know what I mean, things start happening in your body. You know? And it's good to really get the help to probably slow down some process. You know what I mean? All to catch things early before it gets out of hand. Okay? So, thank you so much for listening to me. All right? Thank you so much. Until next time, keep the conversation going.
You're tuned into Common Ground with Valentine Harris, only on LA Talk Radio.